Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
A European Union attempt to scan private messages for online child abuse content stalled last week. The Danish presidency of the Council of the EU is pushing for this CSAM scanning. However, the number of people and political groups articulating opposition to the automatic scanning of private communications, effectively ending end-to-end encryption, is growing. Well, to explain to us exactly what's happening, I'm joined by Sam Clark, who is cybersecurity reporter at Politico. Sam, you're very welcome to the programme. Good morning to you.
Hi, good morning.
So will you, before we get into the arguments on both sides here, will you explain to us what chat control is?
Yeah, so as you said, it's a proposed piece of EU legislation. It was put forward in 2022. And the idea is to tackle child sexual abuse online. It does have a lot of stuff in there, but the thing that's really sort of caught everyone's attention, as you say, is measures to make tech companies like Meta, like Apple and others, basically look for or scan for child abuse on their platforms.
Right.
I think the thing to say, first of all, is that the proposal is not actually called chat control. That's we've referred to it in our reporting as that sometimes, but that's a name given to it by a really big campaign against the legislation which uses that name, and it's important to sort of mention that, because I think that's sort of really taken hold, but the legislation is actually about child sexual abuse material.
Mm-hmm.
Which obviously is, you know, is horrendous, and it sort of completely ruins people's lives.
So to say chat control, that might be seen by some as a loaded term in this context.
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, the it's been a big campaign, and these issues are what's holding the legislation up. But that term chat control is one used by the opposition to the law.
But what people liked initially with WhatsApp messages when that all started was the guarantee of end-to-end encryption. So whatever you send on that app, it's only accessible to the sender and the receiver, and you have the same with Apple's iMessage and with Meta's Messenger now. And this is where the fear has arisen, isn't it, that might be about to change under these rules?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, end-to-end encryption, as you say, that's exactly what it means. It means that only the sender and receiver can see messages. And that means not the company, and it means not the, you know, the authorities, the police, and so on. And the really big platforms that we all use, I mean, the number of people that use those platforms is really, really high, and are very, very common. And they're also used by, I mean, like the app Signal is another one that's used by a lot of politicians and diplomats and journalists. The fear is that people have become used to using those apps that use end-to-end encryption. They feel completely private. And there's a worry that under this legislation, that technology would no longer work, basically. It's more complicated than that. It's a fear about weakening that technology. But the essential problem is that those apps, those ways that most of us communicate every day, they use that technology, end-to-end encryption.
But Sam, if you're working in law enforcement, I'm sure that end-to-end encryption is extremely frustrating, because you can't get hold of that evidence or information that you so desperately need to prove that you have a case.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the police have kind of said this time and time again, and there was a big statement by police last year, lots of European police forces, where they said this quite interesting thing. They said that societies have not previously tolerated spaces like this, spaces that are beyond the reach of law enforcement, where, as they put it, criminals can communicate safely. And that, to me, is what's so interesting about end-to-end encryption. It's a technology, it's a very technical thing, you know, it's sort of to do with cryptography and so on, it's very complicated. But it has, to my mind, in some ways, kind of totally changed the relationship between individual people and the state. You know, the law enforcement just basically can't access these spaces, and that's not something that they are used to, and they say that it's bad for public safety, basically.
So this was first addressed in 2022, wasn't it? The EU decided that the way to deal with this is to give the police some more powers in this area. It didn't really move on much, though, since then, until recent months.
No, I mean, well, in 2022, yeah, as you say, the EU proposed this legislation in the first place. And there has been a sort of you know, it's moved since then, but it's also stalled. So, you know, as happens with anything to do with the EU, it's kind of complicated. But the European Commission proposed it in 2022, and they want to give, yeah, as you say, the police, with the permission of a judge, the power to read some messages, or look at some images, scan for images. It's complicated and it's nuanced in the sense that what they're looking to do really is apply something called a detection order. It's a technicality, but it's quite important because this is again something that's approved by a judge. And what the proponents of the legislation say is this is a really targeted measure to go after really specific, you know, specific things, items, images mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And the people against it say, well, no, this would lead to ultimately a kind of mass surveillance situation. And they say that for two reasons. They say that because, first of all, they say it would weaken encryption that we've spoken about. And that would sort of lead to the entire system, the entire security system that we're also used to being kind of slightly broken effectively. And that would give a way in for hackers, that's criminals, you know, or even other adversarial states to get into these services. And they also say that the provisions of the law, the rules that are proposed, would basically allow for kind of blanket scanning by police, and that's much too broad, and they say that's surveillance.
Okay, and people who work in your industry, for example, journalists, will be fearful that, you know, your messages that you're sending to a contact on a proposed story, somebody who's sending you sensitive information, could be accessible.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's been a whole big scandal over recent years about something called spyware, which is where typically journalists or sort of political dissidents, where their phones are hacked essentially, so that people can read their messages. That's not what's being proposed here, but the point is it shows there's a real concern about people's messages being accessed, basically. And although obviously the proponents of the law say there's lots of safeguards in place, it wouldn't mean that everyone's messages are read. The critics of it say that effectively, one way or another, in the end, that's what would or could happen. Mm-hmm. And that's really where a lot of the arguments lie. And in the end, it comes down to a few technicalities, but really there's very little agreement between the two sides at the moment.
Now, when it comes to child abuse content, a listener says this may be a silly question, and there are never any silly questions, but she asks or says that she presumes that it's the dark web that's used for that type of material. Do they actually use things like WhatsApp and Messenger for CSAM content?
That's what we are told, yes. I mean, the dark web, I think, is a place where those things are shared as well. But from what the police say, these apps are where this kind of material is shared. And one of the pieces of evidence they sort of use to support that is that Facebook Messenger, not WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, didn't used to be end-to-end encrypted, and they used to. So some companies voluntarily report these images, and then Facebook Messenger last year changed to end-to-end encryption, and suddenly the authorities received way, way, way less reports.
Mm-hmm.
So these things are being shared on those types of platforms.
Okay, and the Danes then, under their 6-month presidency, which began in July, they're anxious to get this through. But as you have alluded to, there's huge opposition to this. So what's the likelihood that the Danish presidency will manage to get this working?
That's the big question. And it's really, really difficult to tell. I think they have a lot of time pressure and a lot of political pressure because, as I say, this law was first proposed in 2022 by the European Commission. And since then, you know, the presidencies, they go in 6-month rotations and no one's been able to get it through. And the Danes feel very strongly about this. Their Minister for Justice, a guy called Peter Hummelgaard, he talks about this a lot and he feels very strongly about it. So they really want to get it through. But they really only have one more opportunity in December. And as you say, there's a lot of opposition, and that includes opposition from Germany, which is a really big sort of player in this space and has historically been opposed to anything that could hurt privacy, basically. And it really depends on Germany. whether they will go for it or not.
Well, we will watch it play out. But Sam, thank you for explaining it to us. Sam Clark is a cybersecurity reporter at Politico. Now we're going to have our home renovations clinic coming up next. Thank you for sending in all of your questions. Still some time to get questions in for Pete the Builder and Dee Coleman, who will be with us very shortly. The number you need on WhatsApp is 0870 32 32 32.
Get in touch on WhatsApp, 0870 32 32 32.